Welcome to Carnivores Don't Get Sunburned, hosted by Carrie Mann. Dive into the extraordinary journey of rediscovering optimal health through the carnivore diet. Here, we share powerful transformations from reversing chronic illnesses to achieving peak human potential. Each episode, we'll explore the real stories of those who've turned their lives around, embracing a diet that's as natural as the sun. Stay tuned as we uncover the science, the success stories, and the secrets to thriving on this ancestral diet. Plus, don't miss our exciting documentary highlights featuring a diverse range of carnivore champions. Ready to challenge the conventional? Let's get started.
Have to change our diet and the way we operate if we want to go back to being fully human, being fully capable of what we're designed to do. I was diagnosed with epilepsy at 10 years old, so I started having grand mal full body tonic-clonic seizures that would leave me unconscious, brutally crippling. One of the worst symptoms you could possibly have, one of the worst sufferings a human being can have. So I started with a ketogenic diet and eventually carnivore. 7 years now, carnivore. Nobody in my entire life told me that food can affect mood, and mood affects your productivity, it affects your happiness. I'm like, what is more important than in life almost than happiness? It's like Neo taking the red pill in the Matrix. Like, you just, from that point, you know, the entire perspective of everything changes.
Hello and welcome. Carrie here from Healing Humanity, the Power of a Proper Human Diet. And today I'm thankful, grateful, blessed to welcome Daniel Martin to the channel. Welcome, Daniel. Maybe if we could start out, could you talk a little bit about your background or what led you to a carnivore diet?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a lot of pieces, like a lot of people, you know, leading to carnivore because it's usually not the first thing, you know. Sometimes it is, but usually not. And for me, it definitely wasn't. So the most important thing I would share is that I was diagnosed with epilepsy at 10 years old. So I started having grand mal full body tonic-clonic seizures that would leave me unconscious, and I would sleep for 12 to 24 hours afterwards. And, you know, no big deal because you go to the doctor, you get medication. And I was one of the 65% of people that medication, you know, epilepsy, anti-epileptic medication works. So, you know, great. That's a, you know, blessing, because then I just put the whole thing, you know, like, oh, you know, it's no big deal. Medication. There you go. There's the answer. So, and then in my 20s, I started having a health decline that happened so slowly, you know, year after year after year. Like, eventually I'm like starting to realize things in my 20s, like, you know, like having zero libido. Like, it's like, oh, your testosterone is supposed to decrease once you hit 20 years old, you know. But it should, you know, eventually I realized it shouldn't be like this low. It shouldn't be like close to zero. And I, you know, I just, all these things, I started like, what's going on? Like, something seems even worse than the standard, you know, American lifestyle, which is, you know, it's full of all sorts of issues, but it's not as bad as what I was experiencing. And I had so social anxiety so bad. My mouth would quiver when I would smile. I would nap, you know, multiple hours a day. I had all these things going on, and I'm like, I, you know, doctors weren't helpful. You know, I didn't know anything about health and wellness. I've been in computers my whole life. So lots of, you know, questioning, and one thing led to another. So to jump to the end point, like I started exploring diets. My crazy neighbors invited me to what's called a Whole30 challenge, which is whole foods for 30 days. It's just one of many programs where you eat healthier for a period of time. And I noticed that my mood improved, and I'm like, dude, nobody in my entire life told me that food can affect mood, and mood affects your productivity. It affects your happiness. I'm like, what is more important than in life almost than happiness? So I'm like, that is such a undiscovered tool. So there I am at like my very early 20s, and like, hey, I'm smart. I know this thing that food is like important. Okay. So then I started listening to self-improvement podcast, health and wellness podcast, and people kept talking about keto. So I started with a ketogenic diet and eventually carnivore. And at first I was just trying to solve the low libido, the energy, like all the other stuff. I wasn't even caring about epilepsy yet because I was still controlled by medication. So that's what led me to start keto. And once I was low carb and, you know, I was realizing what food affects all your symptoms. Like you change different things, you have different outcomes. So I was fascinated, and I'm a computer engineer. So I'm like, this is the human body is the most fascinating, complicated computer system that exists. So I got I built this passion and interest for it, and I wanted to learn everything there was for it. And I thought it would take me a year to, you know, have all the answers, do the elimination diet, find out exactly what's perfect for me and live happily ever after. Right. But it was much harder than that. And I, you know, once I was on the ketogenic diet, I was a year or two into this health journey, leaving the standard American diet. And then I was like looking at my medication, looking at my, you know, seizures and my, all that. And I'm like, what if this medication is the root cause of all of my other issues? And I just need to not be taking medication. In which case I'm like, it's been 15 years, you know, I was on it from like 10 years old to about 23, 24 years old. I was on that medication, 100% seizure free. So at that point, you know, I'm like, I have two decisions. I live the rest of my life at this highly degraded state and continue to decline, have a shorter life expectancy, have just everything that I don't want, or rip the Band-Aid off, figure out how to control these seizures naturally. Like it's not going to be, you know, completely free of risk. Like if you're doing something different, you're going to get different outcomes and you're going to have like go through a process and a journey. So that's exactly what the past 10 years of my life has been, is the process and journey of weaning myself off medication, even though doctors, parents, family are in complete opposition of it. And I had to learn everything absolutely on my own and learn the, you know, what it took for me to get to where I am now, which is 100% seizure free, medication free over the past 5+ years. So It's been a remarkable journey. And about 2 years into keto is when I went carnivore, and carnivore was the first thing that controlled my seizures. And the last major piece that I missed from the story was once I started changing my diet, once I decided to rip that Band-Aid off and say, I'm going to figure out how to control these seizures naturally so I can get off this medication so I could see if it's impacting my symptoms. So once I was weaning myself off medication, I started having grand mal seizures again as an adult. So as a working, driving, you know, fully functional, independent 24-year-old, having seizures, which can potentially get you into a fatal car crash, drowning accident, at a minimum, like severely bruised and scraped up, you know, every single time. So, and also waste, you know, days of time lost. So I didn't outgrow my seizures, you know, like sometimes things magically go away, or they come and go in cycles, or they come back a decade later or whatever. So I didn't outgrow my seizures. So I was forced to take my health and wellness journey to deeper levels, you know, because if it was, you know, as easy as just, you know, oh, cut out gluten and, you know, you're set for life or something easy like that. Sometimes that happens for people. But for me, carnivore was the first thing that got me seizure free and medication free. So it was absolutely the most eye-opening thing I've ever done. You know, that first couple months into the diet, like a lot of people experience this, the wave of energy, the wave of clarity, the happiness, the mood, like all this stuff. I'm like, how on earth is it humanly possible for something that is so talking down on in mainstream that, you know, red meat's bad for you, you should limit your consumption, you should do all these things. Why would I be having this experience? So that's really one of the most remarkable points in my entire life, because it unlocked, it's like Neo taking the red pill in the Matrix. Like you just, from that point, you know, the entire perspective of everything changes. So I started asking questions. And ultimately this whole process, I found that it's changed my life so much that I left my 10+ years of experience in cybersecurity, computer engineering, and all this stuff to be a full-time epilepsy health coach and help other people who, you know, there's millions and millions and millions of people where medication doesn't even work in the first place. So I tell them they're blessed because they're forced to find a natural alternative earlier, and they don't have to deal with 15 years of medication building up in the system like I did. So that's how I was led to carnivore, was through negative symptoms in my 20s, through seizures in my 20s, things, you know, falling apart when you should be at the prime of your health. You know, you shouldn't have debilitating issues preventing you from working and from dating and from everything that it prevented me from. So that's exactly what led me to carnivore.
Wow. It's incredible. It hits kind of close to home to me. My wife Jen and I have been together since age 14, but her stepdad, who was somewhat of a father figure because we just hung out all the time, so I was always over there with her stepdad, he had epileptic seizures and medication. He was on medication, but it wasn't working because he had many of the things you described, Daniel, several, like almost near death car accidents, and he'd have the big seizure and he'd sleep for like 12 hours afterwards. And he sadly passed away, I think in his 50s. I think it was in his sleep. I've heard of like the connection between ketogenic diet and seizures, but I don't really know that much about it. So I'm really interested in learning more from you and sharing it with people here that may have it. I just remember after doing carnivore for a while, talking to my wife, who's now doing carnivore too. And I was talking about her stepdad, I'm like, gosh, if he would have had this, I have no doubt in my mind, like if he would have had this as another tool in his toolbox, he'd probably still be here right now. If nothing else, he would have probably had relief from that. But I think for him, they said something like he thought he was stung by a bee when he was young or something that caused the seizures. Do you know what the cause was for you, or was it just something you were born with?
No, me, like most people with epilepsy, it's just totally random. Not born with it, develops often in childhood, and no specific reason. So it leaves a lot of investigative work and a lot of kind of faith. Like we don't know to what degree aluminum is affecting the equation, or mercury, or processed food, or processed carbs, like or sugar, or what, like vitamin deficiencies. It's very, very difficult because we don't know a whole lot about what a seizure is, what causes it, what its function is. There's lots of alternative ideologies of what a seizure is doing. And a lot of times, as I believe, a seizure is rebalancing the body. It's an emergency required response to keep the person alive and extend their life. So, you know, there's no cause for me. Most people, we don't know what the cause is. But sometimes there's a trigger, you know, like if somebody gets a standard vaccination, or if they get a standard, like they get in a car accident, they can start having seizures from that point, or traumatic events are another very common one. So if they have that trigger and the seizures start happening, you know, there's a difference between, you know, something caused the seizures to happen and it triggered them to happen. It's like pushing you over the edge. If you're next to a cliff and you get pushed off the edge, it was a contributing factor, but there's still a lot of stuff under the surface. And that's kind of my job, is to like, hey, there's 100 paths to healing. We can go down any one of them. Some of them might take 7 years and nobody wants to do that. Nobody wants to walk that path. So if we find the right one, you know, we have less side effects. We have, you know, more seizure control more quickly. But that's the answer to the question. I have no idea specifically what thing caused my seizures or what set of things. All I know is that the three main areas that I focus on in my epilepsy coaching business, which is diet and it's oxygen and it's brain training, those three things. Brain training is akin to stress, the most second most highest most common seizure trigger, and oxygen is deficiency is seen in the brain of every single epileptic person. Every malnourished person is breathing too fast because their body thinks that chemical attack that chemical stress from a bad diet is telling their brain that they need to be in fight or flight so they can escape from a tiger. So it's trying to get them ready for exercise, which we never do. We never go outside. We never exercise. We never sweat. So we're kind of getting screwed over by our body trying to protect ourselves. So just knowing those three kind of foundations has helped me cover all the bases for myself and for my clients, because, you know, diet is by far my foundation. It's the strongest, most impactful thing. Like a person doesn't have to force themselves to meditate and to do all these things. Like, you can also naturally cultivate a feeling of lovingness and connection and energy and joy from like getting the crap out of your system. And the best way to do that, in my opinion, as a starting point in many cases, is a very clear elimination diet that's animal based and, you know, plain carnivore or whatever variation of carnivore, modified carnivore, is like a fantastic starting point, you know. And each person needs something different, but still, as a foundation, that's so important. But the cause of it, sorry, I don't have a good answer for that.
Sure. In terms of the diet, I have a lot of new carnivores starting, and one of the questions they always say is, well, what do you eat? And I'm like, beef, butter, bacon, eggs. But would you mind sharing a little bit, like, what does your diet look like nowadays?
Yeah. So I eat a lot more chicken now than I used to. The mainstream carnivore advice is just have piles and piles of red meat. And I did that for many, many years, and I had many, many years of good results. But I do experiment with things. And I, you know, once I became decided to become a health coach, I wanted to push things to borderline dangerous levels, because I'm smart and intelligent enough to not hospitalize myself, not seriously injure myself, be able to read signs and clues, prodromes, like signs that something's going to happen, whatever. So I like to get that feedback, see what different things feel like, what different electrolyte balances feel like, what different sleep schedules feel like, what different meditation, relaxation, de-stressification techniques feel like, different breathing exercises, oxygenation. So saying that, I've gone through many like experimental phases of carnivore. So I hate going into too much detail on what I eat, because it implies that it's some sort of universal way that everybody should be modifying. So that said, I have like 7 years now carnivore or something like that. It's very hard to track at a certain point. But, so I have 7 years of eating primarily red meat, right? And I've found that in the past year or two, having more variety, having more higher quality meats. So I like to put a lot of focus on organic pastured chicken. So as my primary meat, I like to have raw oysters on occasion. I like to make what I call homemade custard with what I believe is very beneficial, raw unsalted butter. And that kind of plays into the ketogenic diet and seizure control and all sorts of things. But making a custard with raw eggs and raw butter has been, you know, really helpful for so many reasons. And so I drink a lot of custard. It's high calorie, it's high fat. I'm proud to say that I've had 100% seizure control on a variety of different carnivore diets. I did 2 years experimentally on a very low fat carnivore diet, almost exclusively lean beef. So the leanest ground beef you get, for example, within reason, 93% lean, 7% fat at the grocery store or at your local farmer's market, wherever. And so I did that for 10 years. So my diet has been, if I can summarize the past 5 years, what do I eat on a carnivore diet? Like, hamburgers are fantastic. They're ground up. They're a little easier, like fat, easier to eat, more convenient, cheaper, you know, all these things. So if you like hamburger patties, or if you like just a taco bowl of just ground beef, like, it's not complicated, but it's so hard to break that the standard American upbringing of your meal has like a lot of variety. It has a lot of flavors. It has a lot of spices. It's got a beverage. It's got a dessert afterwards. It's got a palate cleanser in between. It's got all this like multi-stage stuff that's unnecessary. Like, you don't have to have variety in the same meal. Like, I definitely recommend variety, but, you know, variety in a month, for example, you know, for 3 days, you have fish only. Great. You're getting variety. In the next 5 days, you have beef only. In the next 2 days, you have pork only. Like, it's so much more convenient to just buy a, you know, a Costco mega pack or a, you know, whatever, buy a half a cow and have a bunch of that for a long time, you know? So that's what I've done the past several years. Steak, ground beef, chicken thighs are a favorite, you know? So I mean, I can go on and on, but that's there's no easy answer, you know, to what I recommend people eat or any of that. But ground beef is great. Chicken's great. And
absolutely. In terms of seizures and a ketogenic diet, is it true that ketogenic diets have been used to treat seizures for a long time? It's not like a new thing, right?
It's about 100 years old. They've in the Bible, they've mentioned fasting, like prayer and fasting is the only thing to do for an epileptic fit, for example. And 100 years ago, they knew that fasting really helped seizures, stopped seizures in a lot of cases. Fasting stops a lot of diseases. So knowing that, you know, 100 years ago, they eventually figured out that, hey, we can mimic a lot of the benefits of fasting by just eating a very high fat diet. So I call it a therapeutic ketogenic diet because people have hijacked the word keto and now it means like a myriad of things. So a therapeutic ketogenic diet is kind of what was developed 100 years ago specifically for epilepsy. So it is very helpful for myself, for the clients that I work with, having much higher percentage of fat than most people would need who are interested in a carnivore diet or things like that. But with epilepsy or certain brain conditions, you got to remember the brain is mostly made out of fat. And you also got to remember that fat is the primary macronutrient, the thing that binds to and buffers toxicity. So when we are not eating a lot of fat, you know, toxicity, imbalances, deficiencies concentrate more and more and more in the brain. And the brain is doing thousands of things we don't realize and understand fully to compensate. And this is like a part of the reason seizures happen. The scaffolding, you know, in our brain is rusty. It's falling apart. It's missing screws. It's not well maintained. Doesn't have good building blocks. Doesn't have glycine. Doesn't have fat. Doesn't have this. Doesn't have that. So the ketogenic diet is still, in my opinion, one of the foundational principles of natural seizure control, of getting the brain in a, like putting out the fires. Like, it's going to take time to rebuild the brain, have fresh cells, detoxify the system fully, but you can still put out fires. You can still soothe inflammation. You can still soothe like those burning, crippling symptoms and those terrible, terrible repeating seizures by employing a high fat version of a ketogenic diet, or a high fat, even better, high fat version of a carnivore diet. So then we're talking about a therapeutic ketogenic carnivore diet, you know, we had to string words together. And I often recommend others follow what I follow, which is roughly a 3-to-1 fat to protein ratio, which on paper is 90% of calories from fat. And on your dinner plate, what that looks like is, for example, one hamburger patty and one equally sized slab of butter on top of it.
Quick interruption. Today's video is sponsored proudly by ButcherBox. They recently launched a new initiative where you can support your local USA American farmers. Support American farmers with this new US pasture-raised beef from ButcherBox. This is USDA choice meat. Look at this ribeye, it's absolutely fantastic. The cows are never in feedlots. They're pasture-raised. There's no antibiotics, no hormones. You're supporting a local American farmer. I get so many people asking me, how can I do that? Now you can do it with ButcherBox. There's more details, including a really special offer
if you use the link in the description below. Thank you so much for watching. Now back to today's video.
So 50% of a bite of protein, 50% of butter. And that's kind of at the, I would say the upper limit of palatability. Like once you get used to that, it tastes good. Like there's no problems with palatability once you get used to it. And getting used to it, sometimes it's instant, sometimes it's 3 days, sometimes it's a week. And then you're used to it for the rest of your life if you choose to stay there, you know, and you don't have to stay there, as I've shown with myself, with, you know, going off of low fat diets, you know, and doing all these things. So it's yeah. So that's the gist of the ketogenic diet. Happened, you know, started 100 years ago. It's still more effective than any anti-epileptic drug on the market. It's just not used by doctors because it's a pain in the butt for doctors to change somebody's lifestyle and get them to change their diet. It's difficult.
When you mention a therapeutic ketosis, is there certain like tests that people can do to see how deep they're getting into ketosis?
Not very good ones, in my opinion. The mainstream observation is ketones. So buying a device where you prick your finger, you put a drop of blood on a strip, like the Keto Mojo is one such device that will tell you your blood glucose and also your blood ketones. And the more dietary fat you eat, generally your ketones go up. And ketones are, there's causation and correlation. And that's my job as a coach is difficult because I don't know, doctors don't know, we as a human species don't know the exact coupling of millions of variables that play into human health. And one of those variables is the causation correlation of ketones in the blood, in the body, and seizure control, or ketones in the body and therapeutic effects or relationship to chronic illness. So the conclusion to that answer is, yeah, the most commonly used device, like the Keto Mojo, is the most effective, you know, cost effectiveness. But the human body is so adaptable. It's going to adapt to whatever the heck you feed it. If you eat standard American diet, your body's going to hyper optimize itself to squeeze the most out of that garbage as humanly possible. Like it's going to do like a banger great job at kind of making that nutrition work for you. Right. And same is going to happen with any dietary changes that are made. If you're eating a whole bunch of butter, if you're eating a whole bunch of meat, if you're eating a whole bunch of stuff, your body's going to be like, okay, we need more meat processing cells. You know, we need more like systems to deal with the byproducts and uric acid, lactate, like all of the, you know, all the stuff, all the complexity. So that's the tool. I don't put a lot of emphasis on ketones. It's just going to change over time. It does give people a lot of confidence when they start because it's exciting to see biofeedback. So I use a lot of biofeedback stuff like the Keto Mojo for people who are excited by it. But right. Most of the time I'm like, most people don't like pricking their finger. They don't like logging their stats and stuff. Some people do, like me, but a lot of people don't care. They just want to get better. So I don't put all my focus there, but it's important. It's a factor, one of many.
It's interesting. Now that I know what I know, but what you were saying about eating a standard American diet and how the human body is pretty amazing and being able to pull out what it can from that. Cause yeah, like knowing what I know now, I'm amazed. I'm still here. Like how did I get through that? But it is pretty incredible that putting such a horrible wrong fuel in and the body's still able to kind of get you through the day sort of thing. It's just interesting when you mentioned therapeutic ketosis, because I've heard that a couple other times. I think I heard it, a doctor talking about it when you're trying to do this to manage depression. And Professor Thomas Seyfried's talked about it for cancer, getting into a deep therapeutic sort of state of ketosis. So when you're working with folks, and they're doing this for a specific reason to overcome seizures, do you find like some of them are, wow, this is crazy. I'm no longer anxious or depressed, or I had these other sort of issues that I didn't even consider would be a result of my nutrition that are now getting better?
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's guaranteed. And I it's a hard job to map out somebody's journey, because I got to tell people, like, there's going to be a range, like there's going to be a wide range of when you can expect to be seizure free. And usually it's measured in at least weeks, but usually months, in severe cases, years. Somebody's older, somebody's had really severe health problems. You got to start looking at your health in terms of years. You got to invest for long periods of time. But anyway, for a lot of people, you know, I work with a lot of kids, for example. They've got a lot of fresh cells. They've got a lot of resiliency. They're growing. So they have like this expansion, this ability to detox and, you know, in a more effective way than adults. But anyway, when I start working with people, we get a baseline of where they are. Everything, you know, matters. Your mood matters, your outlook on politics matters, your outlook on your family, your outlook on, are you good enough? You know, are you loved? Are you behind in life? Are you falling, you know, are you not successful as you feel you should be? You feel ashamed? Do you feel like you're lazy? Like everything, all these little details matter. So when I start working with somebody, we map that out, and it's, like I was saying, it's guaranteed. Like if we are going to successfully naturally control seizures, we're going to get 100 other things included in the package free of charge. Like you didn't sign up to work with me to be happy or whatever, because nobody buys that, but you're going to get it and you're going to realize how invaluable it is. Like for me, that's why I left 10 years in cybersecurity for a brand new career starting from scratch, because I know that I'm investing in my health. I'm investing in an industry that is so critically needed, and it's exponentially rising. I know that in my future, you know, my services as a health professional essentially are going to be more and more and more in demand, because we still quite haven't realized the effects that all our modern lifestyle stuff is like accumulating year after year after year. You know, it's so difficult. We have to change our lifestyles. We have to change our diet and the way we operate if we want to go back to like being fully human, being fully capable of what we're designed to do. And like myself and many other people have just never experienced life. They've never had a day of experience of what it's like to have a clear, detoxified brain system, clean food, clean fuel, excited for the future, loving life, you know, not pissed off at coworkers, not pissed off at politics, not pissed off at TV, not pissed off at not having enough money. You know, all the people haven't had one day of that. So if there was one magic power if I could have, I would just be like, okay, experience like my transformation for 2 minutes, and then you'll have all the belief you need. You won't need any faith to like go through my program, because most of my job is cultivating faith, being a leader. You know, hey, there's not a lot of examples like me, but I am an example of an irreversible disease that's brutally crippling. The worst, one of the worst symptoms you could possibly have, one of the worst sufferings a human being can have. And having, you know, been able to have such fantastic success is huge. So that's a complicated answer, but you know, yes, people are going to get increased mood. Their depression and anxiety are huge. They're like pretty strongly correlated with epilepsy, depending if you're, which side of the spectrum you're on. If you're kind of high energy, you're more anxiety. If you're low energy, you're more depressed. And honestly, therapeutic ketogenic diets, in my opinion, are...
Quick interruption. Did you know we have an incredible membership site for you called healinghumanity.life? We have a special offer going on right now. Learn more at the link in the description. We have courses. We have expert Q&As with the good doctors. We even have a Healing Humanity Heroes Zoom call once a week, highlighting real heroes that will inspire you on a path to healing. The community is wonderful. We're going to be implementing a buddy system so you can be held accountable, recipes, all sorts of great stuff to help you on a path to healing. Learn more at the link in the description below.
You know, everybody's focused on ketones, and that's the whole end of that's the therapeutic keto story. But there's so much more to that story. I found that fat has so much like broader and more impactful benefits and applications and ways of consuming it, like all this stuff. And the, you know, ketogenic diet, we were talking about depression. And, you know, a lot of times in epilepsy and depression and anxiety, we just are so nutrient depleted. We're so full of toxicity because we're, you know, the human, the systems in our body are shutting down, like, you know, 5% a year or something like that. And getting lots of very high quality animal fats in the diet are tremendously effective for the nervous system because the brain is mostly fat. So the brain attracts fat soluble toxins. So does bone marrow. So does adipose tissue, fat cells in your body, which is why a lot of people with epilepsy or a lot of people with mental health conditions, a lot of times they're normal weight or they're skinny. Like, I've been normal weight and skinny my whole life. My worst health was when I was at the skinniest. And, you know, it doesn't mean that somebody requires body fat to be healthy. Although it does help. It's always better to overeat calories, overeat animal fats than it is to undereat them and not have the buffer of toxicity that your brain needs, because it's, your brain's on fire. It needs a firefighter, and water doesn't work here, you know?
Right.
So it needs fat and other things.
Yeah. I love what you said back there. It's, if there was a carnivore pill someone could take to experience this for one day, everyone would be sold. It's sad to me how I think about that. Most of humanity is going to go their whole lives never feeling this good, never having this clarity or energy, when really it should be the default for everyone. It really should be. It's like every species on this planet is just doing its natural thing and it's just having a natural life. And here us big brain humans found a way to screw it up, and we're all walking around miserable with all these issues, and it's for the most part pretty needless. But anyhow, one of the other questions I had was, well, you kind of mentioned this, but are the incidents of seizures going up over time? Like, are there more now than there were 20 years ago?
Yes, absolutely. They are. It's unfortunate, but they're tracking along, just like many other diseases are also increasing. So we need like, it's going to take, you know, honestly, years or a couple decades. Hopefully we're already moving in the right direction. Cleaning up chemicals in our food supply and the ways we get food and things like that. But it's just requires like a certain critical mass, like enough people have to get as sick as I was in order for people to wake the heck up, you know, and be like, dude, it's so clear now that there's a problem and we got to fix it, right? You know? And so I think that's going to continue until we, you know, maybe we're reaching that point. Maybe we'll reach it in 10 years or whatever it is, but it's continuing to increase, and we really need to stop pretending that processed food is edible. Like, let's start there.
Yeah. Well, that was one of my big sort of epiphanies after doing carnivore for a while. I'm just a dude. I'm just a regular guy. I don't have much nutrition experience or anything. Had incredible success myself, but I'm like, everything that I was sick from was just me kind of departing from what is natural for humans, eating crazy processed foods and chemicals and food dyes. And even the other things we do, like staring at a screen, like I'm doing right now, but for hours and hours and hours or under fluorescent lights. But do you feel like if everyone in the world was eating a proper human diet since birth, that we wouldn't be seeing many seizures?
Yeah, absolutely. It's, as I've said before, diet isn't the only factor, but it's, in my opinion, the primary factor. Like, it's the base of all things. If you have a crappy nutrition as a child, your brain is hardwiring a state of being of like irritable, cranky, you know, not loved enough. And you're always kind of like, oh, I got to work harder. I got to do more. You're always in fight or flight. You're always kind of like in competition. You're always kind of like quick to anger, quick to retaliation, you know, all these things that make, you know, crime more likely, that make arguments more likely, that make fighting more likely, all this stuff. So if people like magically were on it, like optimal nutrition for a long period of time, then the stuff, you know, year after year, decade after decade will just evaporate. And then anybody that does have seizures, it'll just be you know, something other than diet, you know, it'll just be, the prevalence will be tiny, kind of like it was in biblical times, like when I talked about the Bible, talking about epilepsy, like they had much healthier food back then, but there was still seizures. So you can't blame 100% of like all disease just on processed food. Like processed food is our main current offender. And, you know, in different centuries, they had sanitation issues. They had like food collection issues. They had different issues. We just got to realize our issue today is our food is hyper palatable. It's hyper cheap. And everybody's going to obligate you to eat it. Every birthday is going to be at some restaurant that isn't good for you. Every birthday celebration is going to have cake and stuff that you shouldn't eat. So, you know, it's, I'm the guy who shows up there, like, you know, bringing my crazy whatever food, and like, you know, people notice it. People notice that, hey, he's getting good results. He, you know, it's undeniable. And so, yeah, if people were eating magically better diets, seizures would go way down. No doubt. No question.
What, Daniel, has your journey been like on your friends and family? You mentioned it a little bit, but I got to imagine it was kind of crazy, like when you decided to go off your medication and go on this whole carnivore thing. You've been doing it for a long time now, but what's that been like for them? And have you, I guess, influenced or inspired anyone else to maybe pick up this way of eating?
Absolutely. It's phenomenal. It's life-changing for myself. It's life-changing for those around me. The advice I'd give to people who are just starting out, it's like, hey, remember compound interest from, you know, finance from school, when we put money away and then just like at first nothing happens, and like 30 years later it's just like takes off like a inverted hockey stick or whatever, you know. So same experience for me. So I've been in this dietary transition for about 10 years, and when I first started it, you know, I'm the first person in my entire family, extended family, to be like doing a ketogenic diet and doing a carnivore diet, like the first person. So I am like, you know, the crazy one. The first person to do something is always crazy. Like they're the unknown, they're crazy. Other people get a lot of fear of the unknown, which is totally understandable. But I've noticed that, you know, the first year, you know, like when I was carnivore the first time, like it was so insulting to my parents, you know, like declining the vegetables that they made, and they raised me to be like a not a picky eater and to eat the food that is prepared for you, and, you know, be thankful, and, you know, don't waste anything on your plate, you know, all this stuff. So it was like, it's, you know, it's something that I believed in and I stood up for, and it let, you know, the thing is, it's very temporary. Once people know that you're serious, they back off a little bit and they still treat you like a crazy person. And in my experience, you know, after a number of years, you know, after 3 or 4 years, you know, the information about you kind of spreads around. So people, you know, all of a sudden your extended family, everybody knows that you only eat meat, which so then it's kind of convenient. By year 3, year 4, it's just like, people don't talk about it. They embrace it. They cook meat for you. They, you know, they just, things work themselves out. So it takes that investment of like, yeah, it's going to suck at first. Having your first Christmas, your first Thanksgiving, it might be kind of brutal. Like, you know, you're used to grandma's homemade whatever, super delicious. And, you know, you can always moderate. You can always cut it down 75%, cut it down 75%. So then you can get over that mental block of like, ah, I can never have something delicious the rest of my entire life. Well, so that was my experience, is this exponential growth of how, like, so year 3, it was like acceptance. My, you know, I'm fully accepting it. My family's fully accepting it. And then, you know, year 6, year 9 is kind of like the phase that I'm in now, where people know that I'm a full-time health coach, and I eat, sleep, and live nutrition, health, the healing arts, all this stuff. And they know, you know, that I know solutions to problems. They know that, you know, it's not always, it's not like an easy pill or a quick fix. And that's the challenge, you know, that's the challenge, is getting people to want to change, or getting the willpower, the consistency, you know, whatever that means for somebody. So yeah, at this 6 to 9 year mark, it's been like, you know, lots of people in my family regularly coming to me, not just for themselves, but for other people. And like, what do I do for this? What, you know, this person like is going through a rough time, this, you know, and I'm able to, you know, say with deep experience and understanding, like, this is, you know, what's going on. This is the price to, you know, for freedom, for health freedom, you know, and it's, yeah, I wish carnivore wasn't a pill, because to me, it's the easiest diet on planet Earth. You just, you cut out 150 ingredients from your daily shopping. You know, it's so fantastic in that way. But that's been my journey so far with family and people around me. I think I covered most of it. There's lots of, you know, can go on forever, but that's the gist of it.
Right. Yeah, it's a frustrating thing, because I'm with you. It's the easiest thing in the world. You see people suffering and then they'll say, I could never eat like you. And I get it, because I understand when I was addicted to the standard American diet, it would be hard to wrap my brain around this. But now that I've been doing anywhere near as long as you have, I'm just a little over 700 days. But I'm like, it's so easy. I feel so bad for these people. I could never do that. I'm like, literally, it's the easiest thing. I forget to eat sometimes. It's natural. It's like, it's how it should be. I don't even have to think about it. But what's it like for you, Daniel, coaching people? And I can't even imagine what it's like going through what you've been and the people that you coach having seizures. What's it like when you coach someone and they're able to overcome that with their changing their nutrition?
Absolutely. It's miraculous. It's very fulfilling. It's been a very crazy, crazy, crazy journey, because you don't just teleport to where I am today. Like, so many things have crafted the person I am, what I'm doing now, how I came to be here. And, you know, just having the idea that you could be a health coach, just having the idea that you can work with something as challenging as epilepsy, and, you know, kids with epilepsy is heartbreaking. Adults with epilepsy is also heartbreaking, and it's tremendously difficult. And, you know, it's a rut that's very, very hard to get out of. It's one of the scariest things you can possibly go through as a human being. And so the coaching is, you know, I've been doing this for a number of years. At first it was very difficult. Like, man, it's information overload. Like, everybody's so different. Like, everybody needs so many different things. And, it takes, you know, practice and experience as a coach. Like, you learn by experience, you learn by repeating your craft over and over and over. So it's definitely a challenging field. It's challenging because, like I said, there's many types of seizures, there's many causes of seizures, there's many healing paths to addressing the seizures. And we have to do trial and error, because there's no magic test. You know, the ketones, the magnesium, you know, the hair tissue mineral analysis that I do, it's just, there's no single thing that's just going to be like, oh, we got an easy solution, we just do this and we're done. We have to go through the cycle of trial and error. And it's, I'll tell you, like, how much it helps people to be working with me, because I've had such a hard time myself. I had this messy period of 5 years where I would, like, things were kind of working, and then I would start having seizures again. I would make mistakes. I would try the, like I said, the riskiest things that exist, you know. And so working with somebody is, luckily I'm able to set the stage. I'm able to, you know, be very clear on intentions, that, you know, how quickly we expect results. But when somebody is seizure free, it's like, man, they've had, there's not very many like feelings in life that are better than that. When you have a severe challenge that's crippling your life and it feels like you can never get out of it and there's no solutions, and you do something that's scary and challenging, you go into that realm of the unknown, you try new different things that you're uncomfortable with or you're unsure about, and you persist for so long that you get to this place where you're like, man, all those systems are kicking on, that anxiety and depression is reversed, the seizures diminish and ultimately go away permanently. And just going through that process with somebody is awesome. Sometimes it's easier than we expect. It's like, man, if people knew, like, half the time it's not that difficult. Like, just go carnivore, just start somewhere. Like, you know, it's just get off a standard American diet, just start hanging out with somebody who's a health nut, you know, that you're just gonna absorb a lot of the habits that they take, like outdoor, you know, walks, whatever it is. So that's a little bit of what it is. It's a crazy, intense journey, but it's the most precious, you know, outcome you can possibly have. So that's all I can say about that.
That's awesome. That's incredible. Be able to find someone, help someone find that path to healing is incredible. What would you say if someone's watching this and maybe they suffer from seizures, or they have a child or loved one that has seizures, they can't quite wrap their brain around this? Is there some language or a certain way you talk to people if they're maybe considering getting coaching or thinking about using nutrition, but they're just not sure about doing it?
Quick interruption. Thank you so much for watching. If you're interested in learning more about our documentary, Healing Humanity, The Power of a Proper Human Diet, or supporting it, please visit donate.healinghumanity.movie. Our goal is to reach millions of people that are hopeless right now, and sharing the examples of real people over the course of 1 year that are undertaking a proper human diet to overcome obesity, type 2 diabetes, depression, anxiety, fertility issues. We couldn't do it without you. We thank you so much. We are also selling these shirts, Healing Humanity, The Power of a Proper Human Diet. Every penny we get from those goes towards the documentary. And last, we have memberships. If you click the little join button, it's best to do it on desktop, under any one of my YouTube videos, you can join and become a member. We have hundreds of members right now. We do members only videos. We do members only behind the scenes. You can email me as a member and I'll answer you. And every penny from that goes to support the documentary. And the last thing is, we have these Redmond's portable salt shakers. These things are awesome. You can get the best salt, you can take it with you. We sell these on the website along with our water bottles and cutting boards, and every penny from all of those goes 100% towards supporting the documentary. You can also sign up for our newsletter, which is completely free. All of these links are in the description below. Thank you so much for your support. Now back to today's video.
I don't yell at people. I don't use force. I wait for invitation. Like, I'm going to be here. I'm going to be spreading messages, doing, teaching people what I know, getting those results, posting the testimonials. And if somebody's, you know, on the edge and I happen to be able to have the opportunity to have a conversation with them, I'm going to tell them, like, the value of that, the seizure freedom over a lifetime. There's no investment in life that's greater than that. There's no business investment. There's no personal development investment. There's no financial, like, nothing. Nothing is as precious as getting seizure control naturally and understanding, you know, how to do that for the rest of your life. And then having the ability to kill it in your job, to kill it in your family, to support your family, to raise a new family, whatever stage in life you're at, that return on investment of going through that process is so invaluable. So all I can do is say words on a screen to hopefully captivate that idea in somebody, because, you know, the being able to be seizure free is worth any price, you know, and it's such a grand goal. It's worth working for. It's worth persisting towards. It's worth making that scary decision and doing it. So that's the gist of what I tell people. And, you know, half the time they come, you know, a couple of months, a couple of years later, they come back, you know, when they're ready. And it's okay to not be ready today. Like myself, I had to go through a series of steps to be open to a carnivore diet. So other people need to go through a series of steps to be open to natural seizure control. And seeing me speak for the first time, it might just be dipping the toe in the water. They might need a couple more months of proof. Seeing people like you, seeing the, you know, the thousands of success stories of any of the multiple paths of healing, to believe that it exists, believe that they can do it, even though they feel like they are hopeless. And then at some point, they're going to take the action they need to. So it's not something to force. It's something to each person, you know, just keep giving them a smile and an invitation. Like, you're invited to a healthy rest of your life. And if you want to join us, you're welcome. You know, that's the way it is.
Good stuff. So just in general, I guess outside of the seizure work you're doing, you've been doing carnivore for 10 years?
Seven-ish. I don't know the exact number.
Okay. So a lot of people that watch my channel are brand new to carnivore. As someone that's been doing carnivore for around 7 years or so, what is the biggest mistake you see people doing when they start a carnivore diet?
Honestly, I have a totally different perspective on this because I don't think you make any mistakes when you're starting, because you're gathering data. You're approaching a carnivore diet with curiosity. You're probably skeptical, like I was starting it for sure, and you're freaking out about carb crashes or keto flu or whatever, you know, negative or changes, you know, you might be having temporarily. And you know, a lot of people quit, you know, within a week or two or three, just because they assume that bad things are happening, you know. But usually it's the opposite. Usually when you start doing healthy things and eating healthy foods, half the time or more, you generally get a little bit worse. Your body switches over into intoxication, and it's switching into detoxification. So even though somebody feels worse, it's usually often a good sign. And that's the nuance that's terrifyingly difficult for me as a health coach on, like, how can you guarantee 100%, you know, if you feel bad from eating a certain healthy food, how can you guarantee if that food is actually healthy or actually not beneficial for that person at that time? So, but that's the number one mistake, I would say, is somebody overreacting to negative symptoms, assuming that it's bad and harming their system, when really it might just be clearing out their system. It might be clearing out their liver, their kidney, their brain, their bone marrow, like just their fat tissue, whatever. So that's a big mistake, is quitting. If you never quit, you're going to get to your goal, whatever it is in health. So quitting is the number one mistake. And so I guess number two mistake would be, what makes you more likely to quit is, you know, not doing research, not being committed, not having enough information. A lot of people, I'm a very analytical person, and I'll plan things and I'll research things. But a lot of people amuse me greatly because they can make decisions very quickly on a whim. It's different styles. There's so many pros and cons between the styles, but a lot of people make decisions quickly, and that's good. But if you make a decision quickly, you're also likely to unmake that decision quickly. So a number two mistake is just kind of like, oh, you've casually heard about the carnivore diet and you're casually going to try the carnivore diet without knowing anybody, like not knowing what you're doing. Like it's a mistake, because most likely that person's going to quit. They're going to like have some, like I said, potentially some negative reaction that's very temporary and beneficial and healing, but they'll attribute it to carnivore and say, oh, carnivore caused this. That diet was terrible. Like, yeah. And then they're like, and then they've closed off that specific path of healing, you know, for a period of time, possibly indefinitely, just because they entered too casually, I guess.
Yeah. Oh man, I'm with you on that one for sure. I get a lot of people leaving comments on my channel, and they'll say something like, that's it, I'm starting carnivore right now. But what about fruit? And I'm like, go do your research. Like, make sure you understand. On one hand, I'm so happy that they want to start carnivore, but exactly to your point, some people are just, I'm just going to jump in and do it without doing the proper research and understanding it. And that's the thing that's frustrating too, because all the information's out there. You just do the research. That's the beautiful thing with it. It's not behind some big paywall or some membership thing you got to sign up for. You can go out there and do the research and figure it out. So.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Well, so Daniel, where can people learn more about your work and connect with you?
So the best place is my website, naturalseizurecontrol.com. And I share, you know, free 1 hour video going through my whole journey and, you know, how I got married and how I traveled the world and how I did all of this, you know, starting at such a bad place in my 20s. And it's an inspirational, you know, video. Even if you don't have epilepsy, go in there if you want to watch it. And because it applies very closely to anxiety, depression, migraine headaches, bipolar, and a couple other things. Like they're so similar, it's almost a joke. They're almost the same disease and treated the same way. And it's so that's where people can find me, naturalseizurecontrol.com.
Wonderful. I will have a link for that in the description below. And I really appreciate your time, Daniel, and sharing your story. I think it's going to help a lot of people. I haven't touched on seizures before, and it's really incredible the work you're doing. So thank you so much for sharing your story.
Thank you.